This morning, our message is strong heart, strong mind, and strong body. And that was the theme that we had for the kids for Vacation Bible Camp. And I'm not quite sure. Well, I have a good idea how Lori came up with that theme. Holy Spirit gave it to her. But it was perfect for this week. The kids learned what it meant to have a strong heart, strong mind, strong body. And they were given an opportunity, as Kim was saying, that they could just be kids and play and not have the worries of the world put down on them. And the thing that I want to communicate this morning, that we communicated to the kids, that I think sometimes we forget, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Says that in Scripture. God says that to us about His handiwork, about His creation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we have been given an immune system. I think we forget that. God created us with an immune system, not a face mask filter. Sorry to say. So, one of the things that I keep hounding on Adrian, you know, she has to listen to me during the week, you guys just have to do it once a week, is in all this conversation in the world about coronavirus, we've lost this whole discussion about immunity. You know, the people that are dying are the ones who are immunocompromised. Well, why not work on our immune system? You know, building our physical and spiritual immunity. This is not just a physical virus, it's a spiritual virus. And yeah, people are dying from that as well. So this is what we were teaching the kids this week. Next slide. If you'll turn with me to Joshua in the Old Testament. Joshua 1. You've heard this passage before. And again, this is the passage that God gave Lori for our Vacation Bible Camp. Are you there? Joshua 1.
Before Judges, after Deuteronomy.
I'm there. I'm on a phone.
All right. Okay, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Just pause there a second. This is after this 40 years in the wilderness, and Joshua now takes over. Moses never got to go into the promised land, but Joshua takes over, and he's being told to go in to the promised land. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Just to kind of communicate the reason God was having this message given to Joshua is there was reason to fear. Moses had sent spies out to go spy out the land, and they all came back and said, there's giants in there. You know, they're going to kill us. We don't stand a chance. But two of the spies came back, Joshua and Caleb, and said, no, let's do as the God said. We can do this. We can follow through. We can take over this land. They said it by faith. And I see in this message, again, maybe more so than what Lori saw when she got this message for the Vacation Bible Camp, but it applies to us too. You know, there's fear being sold to the whole population. And what God is saying, do not fear. Fear Him only. 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the left or the right, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success.
Yes.
Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Does this apply to us now? Yes or no?
Yes.
Does it apply to you?
Yes.
Does it apply to you? Does it apply to you? Yeah.
Hallelujah.
More than ever.
Why aren't we walking in this? With total bravery, total confidence that God is with us wherever we go. This doesn't mean we're never going to get sick, we're never going to die. That's not the message. But God is with us wherever we go. You know, we tend to think that this message, be strong and courageous, was a unique message just for this one Bible verse. But you know, I just happened to be in my library this morning reading, you know, the porcelain library. And I picked it up and opened it up, and look at all these verses about be strong and courageous. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So Joshua is not the lone example. There's more. In 1 Chronicles 28:20, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So God is going to be with us. He's going to keep us alive until that very day that we have finished our work that He already has planned. In 2 Chronicles, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. In Isaiah 35:4, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come and save you. Daniel 10, be strong. Yes, be strong. In Haggai 2:4, be strong, be strong, be strong, and work, for I am with you. In 1 Corinthians 16, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And in 2 Timothy 2, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The strength that we need is available from the God we serve. Amen?
Amen.
So in Romans, it says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. So think about that. We have a physical body, and we have a mouth to speak, and we have a heart of faith, and in our heart, if we have belief, if we have the Word of God, if we have the Spirit of God, and these are all things that God gives us and offers to us, and it is exactly what we did this week at Vacation Bible Camp, all day long, starting at 7:30 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, 4 days, 4 nights. This was poured into those kids. And this has been poured into us week after week here. What does courageous mean? What's the definition? It means brave, bold, daring, intrepid, hardy, adventurous, enterprising. Be strong. Be courageous. We need to have a strong heart and a courageous heart. Can we have a strong heart and a fearful heart? No. God says, be strong and courageous. And our heart is strong and courageous based on what we're putting into our heart, into our spirit. Are we putting in fear? Are we putting in God's word? Belief. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. It's about three-fourths of the way through the New Testament. 2 Timothy 1:7. Are you there?
Amen.
For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, and love, and self-control. Do you cling to this promise on a daily basis? Do you remind yourself of this verse, of this statement? We run into things all day long, every day, that are the opposite of this, that we have to remember this.
My translation says, and of a sound mind.
Yes.
That's what mine says. Sound of mind.
Sound mind. Sound mind. What is a sound mind? What is a sound mind able to do?
Discern truth.
Exactly. Discern. Discern. How many are familiar with that word discern? Discernment is a spiritual gift. It is something God gives to us. So we have to start with faith. We have to believe. We have to become children of God. And He will give us discernment. If you lack discernment, ask for it. And one of the things God will tell you is read my word. Pray. Worship. Fellowship with my other children. And you will get discernment. You don't get discernment without being bombarded with heresy and false truth. Because discernment essentially takes everything that comes in and separates out the bad from the good. What not to believe, what to believe. Discernment. The dictionary says discernment distinguishes one thing from another. You know, like Jesus said, you know, when you're pulling in a bunch of fish, you sort out the bad fish, they go back in the water, and the good fish you keep and take home and eat. When He returns, He's going to sort out the sheep and the goats. The goats are going south, and the sheep are going to heaven. Discernment. In order for us to have a strong mind and a courageous mind, we've got to be evidencing some discernment. There's a couple other places where we're taught about discernment. So you're in 2 Timothy, turn to the left to Philippians. Probably about four books or so. Philippians 1:9. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And in his letter, he's communicating his heart, his desire for the church. And he says in verse 9, and it is my prayer with that your love. So he wants your love to abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. So we see there's a connection between knowledge and discernment. So if we're going to be able to discern, yeah, it's a spiritual gift, but it also has to have knowledge backing it. To have that knowledge, you've got to read, you've got to study, you've got to learn from others. And you learn by experience. You get those scars. And it goes on in 10. So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That day of Christ is when Jesus returns. So we want to be filled with this and blameless. Turn to the right four or five books back to Hebrews. Hebrews 5, verse 14. Hebrews 5, verse 14. Paul is having a discussion, and he's giving a warning against apostasy. You probably think I'm a broken record with this apostasy thing. But Jesus said to the church in Thessalonica, he will not return. He said, he didn't say it personally. He said it through Paul. He will not return until the apostasy happens. But Paul was warning the church against apostasy because those that are apostate come from the church. The people that are outside the church are not the ones that are going to be apostate because they were never faking it in the first place. So those that are part of the church and pretend to be believers, pretend to want to be overcomers, pretend to be able to withstand all that is coming at us, and then leave once the difficulties come, those are the apostates, and they leave the church. They leave the faith. So he's giving them a warning, and he's talking about when you first become a believer, just like a baby, you need milk and soft food because you can't chew. You don't have any teeth. But as you grow, you should be able to take on a little more difficult studies and challenges. And that's what this message is this morning. You might find it a little bit difficult. You might find that you're being hammered. It's not milk and baby food this morning. Hopefully it's like steak. But he's saying, as we become more mature, verse 14 says, solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and good from evil. So again, what he's saying here is, in order to have discernment, we have to practice. We have to go through it. We have to make mistakes. We have to be challenged with what is wrong and what is right and have to sort that out. Sometimes we choose what is wrong and we suffer the consequences. Strong body, courageous body. Turn with me to Romans 12. Go to the left four or five books. Romans 12. That was the cutest little sneeze. So if we're going to grow a strong heart, strong mind, and a strong body, a courageous heart, a courageous mind, and a courageous body, there should be some byproduct of that. What do we do with this strong body that God is growing in us, this courageous body?
Serve the Lord.
Yes. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 say exactly that. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. And I'm sorry if I'm being offensive, but I'm kind of fed up. If you're conforming to the fear out there about the coronavirus, you're conforming to the world.
You know, anti-maskers are with you.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That by testing, we're going to be tested. This is the only way we can be transformed or renewed.
You know, I always tell people, well, God is not going to let me get the virus and die because he's not ready for me to come home yet.
Yeah, and if he does, that's your day. Yeah. Hallelujah.
No telling that's going to be.
It's my day. It was written a long time ago.
So that by testing you may discern. There's that word again. You may discern what is the will of God. So we have to be tested in order to be able to discern what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, when you build something, to do something, the first thing you do after you have it built is test it. Test it.
Yeah.
Jump on it.
Yeah.
So in order for us to have a strong mind, strong body, we need to be taking in and participating in the things that contribute towards that. Except that right now, so many people are getting wiped out, not by coronavirus, but by all the fear and the anger and the hate that is being sown. If the things that are anti-strong, anti-healthy, are things like being sedentary. If you're sitting around doing nothing, that's sedentary, that's bad for your health. If you're not eating healthy, if you're eating junk food, if you're eating too much sugar, whatever, if you're not eating healthy,
cool, Pastor.
Anti-strong, anti-courageous.
No, only church ever is going to be talking about.
If you're not getting enough sleep, you are working against God because your body needs the sleep. God designed that in you. You are working against God. You need sleep. You need a sufficient amount of sleep. If you're not getting enough sleep, find a way to get enough sleep. It's important. If you are having chronic stress, that is against building a strong body, courageous body. That's working against it. Stress. If you have stress, you got to find a way to get rid of it. If you're not getting social interaction because, I don't know, maybe you're staying inside the house for some reason. If you're not getting social interaction, it's working against God. God designed us as social creatures. We need it. And that's not to say that you got to be out going from 7:30 in the morning till 10 at night, nonstop people. I mean, that drives my wife crazy. But, you know, she also doesn't hide out from people most of the time.
At least once a week you ought to gather with people, right?
Yeah. Another thing that is part of the landscape today is spiritual famine. Spiritual famine. The prophets in the Old Testament said there was going to come a day where there's going to be a famine, a spiritual famine, a famine of the Word of God.
Would that be like all the churches being closed?
Isn't it? You came in
just
about
a thought, you know.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the opening part of this. That's why I'm on fire. Drives me crazy. But a spiritual famine is part, it's evidence, it's the symptom of apostasy. If you are absorbing massive doses of fear and anger propagated by media, that is going to beat you up. It's going to tear you down. It's going to destroy you. And you can do something about it. Just turn it off. That's why I got off Facebook. I'm just sick and tired of seeing all that. Unfortunately, I have to lose some of the good things in that. But massive fear and anger will destroy you. That is such a tool that Satan uses. If he can get you angry and fearful, you're likely to kill yourself for him. That's his tool. And then mental health. If you have bad mental health such that you have to take prescription medication forever, or you know, you're locked up and you have panic attacks or anxiety, you know, that's working against a strong body, a courageous body. Find a way to stay out of that. And again, I'm not anti-medication. People have to take that, and they have to take it for a period of time. But if it's something that the Lord can deal with. Don't make it your lifetime help. Strong body, courageous body. If you have a weak immune system, things like bacteria, viruses, and toxins will overwhelm you. They will overwhelm you. This is why it's important to have a healthy body, to have a healthy immune system. And the result is, if you have a weak immune system, is you get sick. You get sick. A strong body has a strong inner man. That's critical. We need these strong hearts, strong minds, and strong bodies. Why? Because just like wolves go around and search for lone sheep or lost sheep or a sheep that's stuck in the thicket, it's easy prey. And what is said about Satan? He's prowling to and fro looking for those he can destroy. You can't hide out from Satan. He's going around searching for the weak and the lost. It's important to develop a spiritual immunity, a physical immunity. We were created fearfully and wonderfully. And this immune system was given to us by God. But he knew that there was going to be disease in the world. He knew it. That's why we have an immune system, to fight it off. He knew it was going to be there. But think about the future. Heaven won't have disease and death. And that's like God acknowledging, when he tells us that heaven won't have disease and death, he's acknowledging that in this world today, you will have that. You will have to deal with it. You cannot get rid of viruses. They're going to be here. 2 years from now, there's going to be another virus. Every night that I've been going to bed, I've been praying and asking God, God, what is going to happen after the coronavirus? And I'm waiting for him to give me the answer. I'm waiting for this dream or some way for an answer. And what I read in the Bible, I think the next one is going to be diseases that create boils and things on our skin. I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to, I'm not saying thus says the Lord. I'm just saying right now, that to me, that's the number one next thing. And I'm just saying it today, so if it does happen, then we can say, yeah, that was from God. If it doesn't happen, that Pastor Mark doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's fair.
Fair enough. So we should be focusing on good health and developing our immune system. And I don't know all the ways to do that, but I know you got to sleep well, you got to eat well, you got to try not to destroy your body, but you can search around and figure out how you develop your immune system.
Okay, I started eating my flaxseed.
Atta girl. So instead of trying to focus on keeping disease out of us, why don't we develop the system that God gave us, which is our immune system? So, the end of this matter is this. All that that we've been talking about, strong heart, strong mind, strong body, produces quality of life. Do you want to give up a vibrant, abundant life, not have a quality of life simply because the government tells you go hide out and stay away from people? That makes me so mad. Stay away from people. How many times have I preached week in and week out that we need communities? We need to be together. And the government is working against that. I'm sorry. We're all sheep, and the wolf is prowling around to see who we can eat, who we can destroy. None of us are exempt from that. But let us be filled with God, believe in God, speak the word of God. And if you're using those things that God gives you, you will have discernment. And you can choose to know what to listen to, what to follow. If you have a strong and courageous heart, you will be able to sort it out. And moreover, you will be able to carry God's message of love and eternal life to others. I want to give you two quotes that I hope you can remember and walk away with. Live life in the moment for the promise of the future. Live life in the moment for the promise of the future. Do not fear the possible, believe the likely. There's a 99.8% chance you won't get and die from coronavirus. Believe in the likely, the probable. Live life in the moment. That means don't let your past or the past control your present. Don't let the negative future, the fearful future, the possible future that is extremely remote, control your present. Do not fear the possible, believe the likely. All right. Your two cents. Reflection and takeaway. Go back when he's trying to take something, take notes or something.
Go back.
Just one, yeah.
I pray, and I like to think and I pray that you're sort of preaching to the choir, although I feel like we need it anyway. But it's such a disappointment that I came from a 600 to 1,000 fluctuating church in Austin, and I get a lot of their posts and reads, and that they've, I mean, just totally missed it. Just totally bought into the fear, totally bought into the nonsense. Can't even see, you know, what's going on. And now you look at Austin, and every time I go back, there's this huge amount of tents all under the overpasses and freeways. Just, it looks like Tent City. It's just incredible. And each time I go back, there's more and more. And now they're defunding the police to $150 million. I'm going, what happened to Austin? It was a place I lived for 36 years, loved. And now it's just gone. They bought into the fear, they bought into the thing, and even the churches there, my church, who I thought were common sense, godly people, have bought into it all. It's just incredible.
You know, it only takes three chapters in Scripture before we get to fear, lying, and fake news, and wrong choices. You know, the third chapter is, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it. She was putting, that is not true. That is not what God said. She went above of God's demands, which is basically religion. Okay, always trying to lay some one more thing that we have to do, which is religion a lot of times, or you will die. And he goes, hey, you will not certainly die. The serpent said to the woman, why? For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for the food and the pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She was conned. Okay. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and doing flipping nothing and not protecting her. We husbands are supposed to be protecting our wives and our families, and we're supposed to know Scripture enough, and we're supposed to be immersed in Scripture that we can protect our families. Okay? Who was with her and the sorry, miserable Adam, who I blame for me having to live this life, he ate it. He did it on purpose because he wanted to be with her. And it's just, And it's, and of course, why wouldn't he want to be with her? I mean, God made Eve, the first woman ever. She had to be amazing. and so it's just, I don't know, man. You, nothing's new underneath the sun.
Any other reflections take away, Donna?
Yeah, well, that those wolves are out there trying to get us, but the Lord is also out there roaring like a lion.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Roaring. Roaring. Listen.
Okay. All right, well, let's gather around and pray for one another.